Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Morning, fellas. Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys. Big fan of the show.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe.
Hello there.
Are you good?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Big fans. Over probably 20 years.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Call or text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to Jeremy and Joe now.
Hey, good morning. It is Wednesday.
And the first day of coach search.
It's going to rain a little bit today.
Yeah.
Temps are nice, right?
Is it going to rain just straight through the weekend?
I think it's going to rain straight until maybe Friday night.
Yep.
All right. Jeremy and Joe, Joe Kelly producing. Hey, everybody, what's up? Yeah. Where do you want to start? Want to ease into it? Want to go full steam into... Here's what Kevin Adams said.
Yeah. You want to take a minute to what happened in the league last night first?
I would love to take a minute on that. I was watching Flyers Capitals.
Yeah. I had Red Wings and Canadiens on the TV, and I had Flyers Capitals on my phone.
Which, by the way, credit to the NHL and ESPN that you can just watch a lot of these games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Like, oh, yeah.
Pretty nice.
You have the ESPN Plus package. You basically get... You get every hockey game that's not on TNT.
Except for your own team.
And your own team.
But yeah, I popped on Flyers Capitals, the Penguins. Of course, their fate was in the balance, and Detroit and Montreal were playing.
Yep.
So lots going on.
Yep. And
it was dramatic.
It was very dramatic.
Was it mostly dramatic because, for anybody that doesn't know, the Flyers and Capitals game. The scenario was, if that's tied late, the Flyers are going to pull their goalie because they need to win in regulation.
Right. Overtime, the moment overtime starts, they're out.
Yes.
They needed to win in regulation.
So you're going watching that game. It's 1-1 deep into the third. I put it on specifically to watch them pull their goalie in a tie game.
Right. But the other part of that scenario was they needed to win in regulation. And they needed Detroit to lose in regulation.
Right. And Detroit was losing in regulation and scored with 3 seconds left.
Right.
And I watched the Flyers broadcast break the news that the Red Wings had gone to overtime, thereby rendering the rest of that game irrelevant.
When did they break the news? Because I didn't have the sound on the Flyers broadcast.
It would have been with 4 minutes left.
Okay. A full minute before they pulled the goaltender?
Yes. And Tortorella in postgame said they did not know that.
Right.
They pulled the goalie anyway. They did not know they had been eliminated. So Philadelphia had been eliminated by Detroit going to overtime.
Yeah.
If you're a Penguins fan or a Red Wings fan, you would have desperately needed to get word to the Flyers. Fellas, you're not in it anymore.
Right.
You don't have to pull the goalie.
In fact, is there a moment where the play is happening with the goalie on the bench where, you know, someone get it to Tortorella so he can send the goalie back out there in the middle of the shift?
Right. Who knows? I saw Andrew Filippone in Pittsburgh saying he believed Torts did it to screw Pittsburgh. Of course, Tortorella said that's not true. They didn't know.
He did pull the goalie with 3 minutes left.
Well, they needed a win.
I know.
But they needed to score in regulation.
It's a little early for Tortorella pulling the goalie, I think. You gotta score no matter what.
Consider,
it's not any different than if you were down one.
No, but consider it's a tie game. If you're down one, 3 minutes seems normal. Right? Sure, I guess 2 minutes seems normal.
Yeah.
If it's tied, you want to pull the goalie, and if they score on you, you're keeping the goalie out.
All right, yeah.
You need more game. You need as much runway as possible.
No, you're right. Actually, the later it would have been, the more it would have been, okay, he did this on purpose. If he pulled the goalie with 20 seconds left,
yeah.
At that point, it's like 5 minutes after Detroit has, you know, made it to overtime.
So the Flyers didn't know, which I've got issues with that. How hard is it? I was on my couch, and I knew.
Yeah.
You are the team that's in the playoff race.
Is it their responsibility to know, though? Like,
yes.
Because for them, it's like, well, none of this matters to us anymore.
Well, it might be nice to know that you're playing. Well, put it this way. Shouldn't the league want them to know? Hi, by the way, Philadelphia, you're out
that's
of it.
That's true.
Pulling your goaltender and giving Washington an empty netter in a tie game to lock up a playoff spot.
Yes, the NHL should definitely want them to know. Because, right, they might get. What is the NHL getting? People are now tuning in to the Capitals-Flyers game, potentially, to see how that's unfolding, because
three markets are still alive.
Three markets still alive, and hey, overtime would be pretty exciting,
yes,
because Washington winning in overtime would have clinched it too, but you never got that because they put the puck into an empty net to clinch.
Right. So if you were Detroit, it was bedlam when you scored to go to overtime.
Right.
And then you would have looked at your phone and seen, wait, the Flyers didn't.
Oh, no.
They didn't find out.
they don't know.
They pulled their goalie, and we just got eliminated because they pulled their goalie.
Is it the wrong coach for this? Is Tortorella the least likely coach in the NHL to have a phone on the bench?
Maybe. The whole thing is kind of funny, though, because, so again, like maybe you were watching last night, maybe you're still recovering from Kevin Adams and his press conference, which we'll get to. My thought on this was the NHL finally had a really wild end-of-season crazy finish. There have been years where the difference between 8th and 9th place is 16 points.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get that finish. And in this case, you had Philadelphia, Washington, Pittsburgh, Detroit. Four teams still hanging in the balance. And the NHL was going a long way last night to congratulate itself. Like, hey, or at least the NHL media, this isn't the year to talk about a play-in tournament because look at what we've got. This isn't the year to talk about 1v8. It ends up being 1v8, by the way, the whole playoff format.
Yeah.
Look at this. You want a new point system? Look at what we've got here on the final day of the season. And what did the final day of the season ultimately deliver? A team getting in on an empty netter in a tie game.
You got drama, though.
You got drama. You didn't really get drama so much as you got
stupidity?
Interest.
Interest.
This isn't. It was never dramatic in Philadelphia. It was over before it got dramatic. And Pittsburgh, it's over. And Detroit might as well have had that goal they scored to get to overtime called back on an offside review. Hooray! We're in overtime. We're out of it.
Right.
Eliminated by a team that pulled their goalie. We get mad in football when they play backups. Like, oh wow, look at this. They're gonna play. Who's the Baltimore backup quarterback who played the Steelers?
Tyler Huntley.
They're going to play Tyler Huntley against the Steelers and not try to win, and because of that, the Colts are going to miss the playoffs?
Mm.
This was, they pulled the goalie after they were eliminated.
Right.
Because they didn't know.
Imagine if we might have preferred this because we would have been in it to the last day of the season. Imagine if the Sabre season had ended that way.
It would have been horrible. I mean, it would have been better than this, I guess.
You don't get in. Probably would have been better.
Right?
You might have felt like you were legitimately cursed.
It should be talked about as a curse. It's not quite home run throwback or 13 seconds level.
But it's nickname worthy. You got to create a nickname for it.
Yeah, if you are Detroit, you scored a miracle goal to make it and stay alive, and another team bounced you with an empty net goal in a tie game.
It's so bad.
Only because the team that pulled the goalie didn't know the scenario.
Right.
Horrible.
Like, someone hack the arena and pipe it through the PA system.
Honestly.
Torts! It's over!
Yeah.
Put him back in!
If you were a Capitals... I'm sorry. If you were a Penguins fan at that, somehow, at that Washington-Philly game, you should have run on the ice.
Imagine you're a Penguin.
I mean, like, Torch, check the score. Check the score for us, please.
Man, I can just imagine Penguins fans. You're watching the end of the Detroit game, and you see them tie it, and you run over to the Capitals-Flyers game, and they're just shouting, no! Don't pull him! As he's charging out of the net to the bench. Man, it was like a minute. I had both games on, and I don't know how much they would line up with the delays. It felt like it was about a minute. Between, like, and I'm not even trying to exaggerate, like 60 seconds tops between goal goes in, David Perron from the point to tie it with 3 seconds left in Detroit, to Tortorella calls his goaltender to the bench, and with Washington scoring, sending Detroit to the elimination. So, what you do get, though, I had one friend complaining, one friend that I believe had a Red Wings to make the playoffs future, he was complaining about the games happening at the same time.
Okay.
Which, one...
They have to happen at the same time, or else you don't know... I mean, well, I guess if they were not at the same time, John Tortorella could have known to not pull his goalie and give Washington, the luckiest team of all time, a free berth in the playoffs.
I think that's what the point he was making was, which is, hey, Washington should go last year, right? Like, they already... They're in it no matter what. I guess Philly, though, wouldn't be, so I don't know.
Yep.
It was a little bit of, did it give you any vibes of like Premier League final day yesterday?
Yes.
Where like every going on at the same time, I think that's cool in sports. I mean, I don't want empty netter to be, you know, a part of the story, but when you have two games, three games, however many games happening at the exact same time that all impact each other. Which, like, hey, this game does matter, but it also matters. This game is affected by what happens in this game, and they're happening at the same time. That level of drama I do like. I just, you know, again, would prefer it doesn't end in an empty net goal.
Right. An empty net goal in which the team didn't know the empty netter didn't have to happen.
It's brutal.
Tough one. Tough one for the Red Wings and Penguins, and that's it, really.
Detroit's playoff drought hits 8. By the way.
Yeah.
Second longest in the league.
Meanwhile, Pittsburgh's playoff drought hits 2.
Right. They didn't make it last year either.
And the last 2 years, Crosby and Malkin have been healthy the entire year.
Yeah.
And they ultimately miss.
And they got Carlson this year.
Yeah.
Like they made a big swing and still didn't make it.
You know what the thing you could say about Pittsburgh, Joe? They're not getting any younger.
No.
Those guys are old.
Uh-huh.
Really old. So there you go. It was interesting. It was dramatic briefly. And it was goofy. But I was watching the Flyer broadcast, and, you know, they asked about the NBA play-in tournament, and every one of the guys on the broadcast said, like, nah, not for hockey. If they had the play-in tournament, which they had last night in the NBA, that thing has started, today you would get Detroit and Pittsburgh.
Right.
And Islanders Capitals. Like, the exact format. Red Wings Penguins, losers out.
Yeah.
Winner advances. Islanders, Capitals, winners in.
Right.
And then you have the third game between the two teams that lost, or sorry, the two teams remaining for the final spot.
Yep.
And you wouldn't have, I almost wonder if last night's scenario, the NHL and the GMs love to overreact. Love to.
Yeah.
At the next round of GM meetings, I'm sure it doesn't go this way, but it'd be nice if it did. Could the GMs of Pittsburgh, Detroit, and Philadelphia say, I mean, it was dramatic, but it shouldn't happen like that. We should never need it to happen like that. We should settle it on the ice as opposed to whatever number tiebreaker we're on. Philadelphia needed to win in regulation to get their 31st regulation win and to prevent Washington from getting their 32nd. They would have put Washington and Philly in a tie. They then go to regulation and overtime wins. They then go to, and on we go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like one night of faux drama that lasted about 2 minutes of actual time is going to stop the NHL from changing for the better in ways that it could.
Well, do you think they were going to do it anyway? Do we think they were going to launch into a plan?
I don't think they are. Are they?
No, were they going to even before last night?
No, but they definitely should.
They definitely should.
They should look at what the NBA gets, which is a couple of free playoff games out of this.
Right. Elimination games. It's tournament games, basically.
In fact, I just mentioned that format where if it were the NBA play-in format, the Flyers wouldn't be out yet. No, they would. I'm sorry. They just played their 82nd game of the season. But they wouldn't have had to pull their goalie. They could have tried to win in regulation, and they could stay ahead of Pittsburgh.
Right.
Like, more teams staying alive and more markets staying in it. And it's not even really just letting them in the playoffs. It's, all right, fine. 7, 8, 9, 10, you guys are not good enough to make the playoffs. Play for two of you to make it. It is not the same as just inviting more playoff teams. In fact, it makes 7 and 8 have to work harder to get in.
Yeah, right.
So I think it's perfect for the NBA. I think it would be perfect for the NHL, even though on the Flyers broadcast, as they're required to do, they're required to say it's not good enough for the NHL. Whatever. I think it would have been great.
So on ESPN right now, they are doing the difference between the two games last night. They showed the Perron goal. They just put a graphic up that said 1 minute 44 seconds later.
Yeah.
So I think they have it that there was a minute 44 between when the Red Wings scored and when Washington scored the empty netter fast, too.
Like, yeah.
There wasn't even time to, like, say, let's send the guy back out there. How about the difference, too? Like, the goal that keeps the Red Wings alive could be, like, an all-time great goal. It is a rip from the point with 3 seconds left. Everyone goes crazy because your season was 3 seconds away from ending. And then the goal that sends you there is TJ Oshie sliding the puck into a wide open net. And then everybody there goes crazy, but like it's not even like a real goal.
Nope. Like tie game, empty netter.
It's incredible.
803-0550. If you want to throw a thought our way on that.
Oh, they also have a graphic up right now. The Capitals' worst goal differential to make the playoffs in the last 30 seasons.
Ever. Caps.
Minus 37.
They stink, but they're in.
Yeah. And Ovechkin got to 31. He did score last night. So he needs 43 next year to break the record.
Very good.
No, 42. 42 to break the record.
Paul Hamilton at 7:30, recapping general manager Kevin Adams. He had a press conference yesterday, spoke for a long time. And Pete Blackburn comes up at 8:30.
Yep, from the What Chaos podcast.
Yeah, we'll talk about coaching candidates. I think the short list is Lindy Ruff, Craig Berube.
Pete is not a fan of the Lindy idea.
Okay, good. Neither is
Paul.
Spoiler
alert on that.
Neither is Paul. Craig Berube, Gerard Gallant, Bruce Boudreau.
Yep.
Is Barry Trotz a conversation here?
I think he retired and is like a GM.
Okay.
Like, I think he's in charge of the Islanders now.
Okay.
He's somebody.
He's high enough up there that he doesn't. Okay, I wondered about that.
We'll talk to Pete about it. I know he's in on Jay Woodcroft as an idea, the former Oilers coach for the Sabres.
When the Oilers fired Jay Woodcroft, they led the league in 5-on-5 expected goals.
But they couldn't get saves.
They couldn't get any saves, yeah. And they fired their coach, and you know they turned it around because
the goalie started.
Right, it was one of those obvious ones where it's like this team is not bad. The goalie needs to make some saves. Let's fire the coach.
Right, but notice that every name we just mentioned is like someone who's coached in the league before.
Right, it won't be Seth Appert.
No. And it won't be Michael Pekka.
We can definitively say that, right?
I think so.
If the Sabres have to double back to an NHL coach or a coach for the NHL team they have without experience, it will mean that they have failed. Kevin Adams was very determined, forceful, clear that he wants a coach with NHL experience. It sounds like he already has the guy committed, agreeing to terms.
It sounds like he has a name. He is one guy that like he has in mind and thinks he's like that he's getting
right. Whether that's Brind'Amour, which the speculation there I think can live because Brind'Amour checks the boxes that Adams mentioned.
Right,
he's of course coaching Carolina. Should we root against Carolina to get knocked out so the Hurricanes decide he can only get them so far? I feel like I should maybe do that. I don't know. To me, it's hard to imagine Brind'Amour coming here, but he's a good coach. He's been good since the day he showed up there.
Would he know already? I mean, this is a question that is maybe hard to answer just because it's what's their relationship. Would he know already that Brind'Amour would come here? He would have to. If that was the name, if that was the guy in his head when he was making those comments yesterday about, you know, that he's got a plan, and he wants someone with pedigree. He wants someone with coaching experience. My mind is very crystal clear on what we're looking for. We'll move as quickly as possible to get it done. Get it done. Like, there's already an it.
Yeah.
And that comment there, we'll move as quickly as possible to get it done. I guess that still could mean Brind'Amour. I would tend to think he would already know, though, if he thinks he's got a shot at getting Brind'Amour. He would have talked to him, which maybe is illegal by technical NHL standards, or a sense that, hey, I'm not just going to be waiting around here for the next month to wait for Carolina to get eliminated, and then you're going to get eliminated and sign an extension with the Hurricanes, and now I've got to go to plan B.
Right.
Like, I tend to think it's probably not him, But I don't want to eliminate Brind'Amour.
So who's the favorite? Lindy?
It's got to be Lindy.
Or Craig Berube? Berube, and there's a conversation we had here about which coach do you want? Do you want a guy like Gerard Gallant or Bruce Boudreau, guys that have had some success with multiple teams, right? Have won.
Have made the playoffs at the very least.
Have made the playoffs with multiple teams, right? Gallant made it with multiple teams.
Yep, Vegas and the Rangers and Florida. Yeah, I think three different teams.
Okay.
Yep.
Versus Berube, who only coached one team, got them to the cup, and won it.
Yeah.
In his first year as an interim coach.
I heard Marty Baron on Sabres Live yesterday point out that, like, the only year they really ever went deep is when their goalie was on fire.
Okay. Well, that's...
Which happens to a lot of coaches.
That's right. The next year, the Blues won the division. So they won the cup, and then the next year they won the division. He made the playoffs four times with St. Louis, and then ultimately it fell apart. So do you want the guy that has not had a body of work with a lot of teams but has a Stanley Cup, or the guy like Boudreau or Gerard Gallant? You know, there are options out there. Lindy falls in line with that. If Lindy had not previously coached the Sabres, he would be a name we would talk about. If instead of the Buffalo Sabres, we're talking about Ottawa hiring a coach, you could say, what about Lindy Ruff? He's coached three different teams to playoff spots. How about Lindy Ruff to coach this team? So,
you want the guy that's third all-time in wins in the NHL?
I mean, I know there's a nostalgia element to it for Sabres fans with Lindy, but I don't think if they did it, it would have to be all nostalgia at all.
I agree.
That's what Ted Nolan was the second time, was, hey, remember this guy? You know, he's not exactly had a ton of success around the league. He's had some, but not as much as Lindy, of course.
Yeah.
803-0550, our phone number. We'll get into what Kevin Adams had to say. Is there a name out there we're not thinking of? It has to be NHL experience. If somehow they land on a guy like Appert who doesn't have it, that means they couldn't get anyone to take the job. Which I don't think that's likely at all.
There should be enough candidates out there. This is where, like, I don't think Adams really is even going out on much of a limb by being willing to say yesterday NHL experience, pedigree, and so on. Is there are so many guys that fit that bill that it would be hard, even in their current state as a franchise, I feel like it would be incredibly hard to not get somebody that's coached in the league before to take the job. Like, I am eliminating everybody that hasn't coached in the league before.
Yep.
And from what he said yesterday. And I really, the reason Lindy is not only the favorite for me, is not just because he coached here, it's the fact that Adams spoke with such conviction about not only the type of guy he's getting, but the confidence that it's going to happen. It makes me think he's got a strong relationship with the person, that he is that convicted. Like, this is the plan, guys. What this thing that I'm thinking of right now, this is it. Like, Brind'Amour, I think, does fit that too, because he would know Brind'Amour, played with him for 7 years in Carolina. But Lindy would fit too, because Adams was his assistant coach for multiple seasons, would have worked with him every single day
for multiple
years, and knows exactly what he's getting with Lindy as a head coach.
That's right. And as he talked about, we crave structure and accountability. I don't know that Lindy is exactly that, but Kevin Adams would certainly know if Lindy is that. Craig Berube, again, he might be on the short list. Is that the right name? Is that credibility because he's won a Stanley Cup? Is that Dan Bylsma all over again?
Mm-hmm.
What did Bylsma do? Bylsma did kind of what Berube did. He won the Stanley Cup as an interim coach.
Right.
And coached for a couple years and then went away. And they got another job with the Sabres and it didn't go well. So, I don't know. There's lots of options.
I think you'd probably have to say yes to that on Berube, but... I don't know, it just doesn't hit the same for me as it does for others.
I agree.
Even though he's won the cup and, like, Lindy hasn't, right? Or Boudreau hasn't. Boudreau, in fact, is notorious for postseason failures.
Right, only getting a team so far, which we would all take right now.
I was going to say, that would all be plenty okay with that.
Yes, what you want is the next step in the Granato ascension. Is Kevin Adams yesterday said Donnie left the Sabres in a better state than when he got here. That's what he needs his next head coach to do. Whether it's the Stanley Cup or it's, hey, we can only get to the conference finals with this guy, like, then he's fired and somebody else comes in, leave the organization in a better spot than you found it. You're looking for the perfect coach. There aren't that many coaches with Stanley Cups that are coaching in the NHL right now. Most coaches don't have one.
Right.
It's not like the NFL where you have, what, like 7 or 8 or 9 Super Bowl winning coaches. In hockey, there's only, I think, 5.
Is that right in football?
How many are there?
There's Andy Reid.
I guess Belichick doesn't count anymore.
And
Arians just retired. Okay,
yeah,
that's fair.
You might be right. Reid, McVay.
It just seems like it's more more regular. When you win a Super Bowl as an NFL head coach, unless you're coaching for the Eagles, you're there for a while. In the NHL, you're fired in 2 years.
Right. But you'll end up on another team.
That's right.
Like,
that's
Tortorella is in Philly right now. He's won the cup.
A long time ago.
Yeah, it was 20.
A long time ago.
It was 20 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
2004?
Yes.
Yeah. Four teams ago?
803-0550. Paul, stick with us. I like your question. I want to ask this question, too. We didn't dig into this yet. We're yapping too long. We're up against the break. I want to get right to your call. 803-0550. On the tone from Kevin Adams yesterday, got a lot to say on that. The potential coaching candidates were 9 days. No, we're 8 days. 8 days from the NFL draft. We'll, of course, dig deeper into that. We've got some Bills visits. Defensive players.
Names that are going to be very hard to pronounce if they end up with them. Rook. Give me the break to figure it out.
I haven't seen that one. They went to a private workout for Jerzon Newton, and they had Cooper DeJean in for a workout as well, for a top 30 visit. So we'll keep you updated on all that stuff as well. Jeremy and Joe on this hump day as the Sabres coach search begins on WGR.
I want the next head coach to be someone that has experience and can push this group to the next level and win hockey games. And I think I have it in my mind exactly what I'm looking for, and that'll be starting today.
Sabres GM Kevin Adams speaking yesterday at length. Long presser. I listened to the whole thing. Got my review of it. In a word... I've got two words. Is it bad that my first thought in a word was two words? The two words are on target. He nailed it. Doesn't really mean he's going to nail the coaching hire, but, you know, this is an organization that has come a long way since we want guys that want to be here. He didn't say that.
No.
He said...
Nothing along those
lines. He basically said the time for excuses is over.
Yeah.
And if you want him to express some humility, he did that on the Jack Quinn stuff. Like, we talked about all the options.
Yep.
When Quinn got hurt. We didn't know he was going to get hurt again. Could we have added? Yeah. We didn't. We didn't like the UFA numbers, or we didn't like the this or the that. Talking like, we discussed it. We decided not to, and that didn't work. He said, like, we're not in the playoffs. It didn't work. So, you don't necessarily like that he had a press conference about missing the playoffs and firing his coach. But I think the general tone of Adams was exactly what this organization needs more of. A lot more of.
Yeah. I think he hit every note that he needed to hit. Whether it was tone, whether it was... They're just words, right? But the words he needed to say that fans needed for, I think, investment or to feel engaged in the upcoming offseason, I think they got every bit of it. Even if it's just him saying, message to the players, it's go time, and we'll play that clip coming up at some point here. But talking about the arrogance, or what the players should not have any arrogance coming out of that locker room, we haven't done anything. Like, that's exactly the type of sentiment I think that's in the fan base right now. To hear that from Adams, I do think is what you needed for that moment. Again, it's just the words. The action's got to follow up in the offseason, but I think to get fans invested in the offseason, I think Adams did a really solid job. So now what? Because we know what he wants for a coach. I'm curious for the offseason now, where he said no more talk about this team being young. Well, interesting, because you got three prospects that all look like they're ready for their first shot at the NHL, and you're going to trade them? Is that the type of move you're looking for this summer? I'm just very curious to see how different this offseason could look than what their offseasons in the past have, which is more of along the lines of, we want guys that want to be here. Here are some depth signings. Connor Clifton. Like, I'm just very... He sounded mad. He sounded mad. Sounded motivated to, like, fix it and not just go with the status quo.
803-0550, get some calls in here. Paul in Buffalo leads us off as we connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, fellas. This was such an interesting presser to me. In many ways, it was my favorite press conference Adams has had. You guys know me. I've called a lot. Not the biggest Adams fan since he's been here. So I have some specific observations I'd like to make. He talked about sounded like me in my call last week about Jack Quinn and the forwards having no standards. He said there just wasn't a high enough standard from this team from training camp to the end of the season. My question to that is, why did it take you so long to act then? I would think the coach sets the standard, and maybe at Christmas time when everyone else wanted the coach fired, it would have done something. He also made the observation that he wants a more abrasive bottom six. Then why on earth would you bring Tyson Jost back for $2 million, waive him, he clears waivers, and he makes it back to the team by the end of the season?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
He's the least abrasive bottom six player in the league, except for Victor Olofsson, who you managed to turn into a nobody from a 28-goal secondary scorer last year. My favorite part of the press conference, and this one I actually love from Adams, is he broke a narrative. In our Buffalo Sabres media pool, there just loves to be narratives created that sometimes have no basis in fact whatsoever. One of them, and two of them were broken at this press conference, one of them was that Terry Pegula wouldn't pay another coach, even though he's worth $8 billion, and he could make that money in a month. He wouldn't pay another coach, but that narrative was wrong. The second narrative was wrong that we were told all season is that this team changed their style of play. No one ever got into specifically what that is, because I think a lot of the people who cover this team couldn't specifically describe a hockey system if their life depended on it. The Buffalo Sabres break out by having their players skate in circles, gaining momentum and getting hit with a pass going forward in a hope to have speed going into the zone. The book on them came out this year, and a lot of teams were able to clog the neutral zone on them, and yet their forwards still tried to pass through it. Now, a lot of times their brilliant defensemen, and I mean brilliant, can make passes through the neutral zone like Owen Power and Rasmus Dahlin, and it abrogates that. But that's their system. And I don't think Mike Harrington could tell you that if his life depended on it. Mike, you were wrong. They never changed their system. They had injuries. They had an awful power play this year, but they didn't change their system. And I had to hear it all year long from people who really don't know the game as much as they think they do. They love to mock the fans of this team who know the game better than they do. And it's just Sabres beat reporter. You know who else needs to be better than the Buffalo Sabres? The Sabres media pool needs to be better, too. Learn what you're looking at, Mike Harrington, Lance Lysowski, Paul Hamilton. Learn what you're looking at.
That said, Don Granato, during the season, did say they needed to get back to the way they played last year. Maybe not a different system. And Adams said that they didn't change the system, but they did have different points of emphasis. And that might have gotten the way that they were middling it too much. That instead of being the team they were last year, and instead of being a team with a point of emphasis on, they had points of emphasis. You know, I don't know if that's like, hey, Joe, don't think of a white elephant. And now what do? You think of a white elephant all the time.
Right.
Points of emphasis get in your head, and can it change the way that you play said system that's the same system? Perhaps. The unbelievable drop-off in point production from nearly every player seems to indicate that perhaps the points of emphasis in the same system were not exactly positive points of emphasis to make.
Right. Which all falls under the umbrella of coaching.
Yes. And yeah. To the point about, thanks, Paul, to the point about what Kevin Adams had to say on the day one of training camp, it's a question I asked Paul, and I don't know when we'll talk to Kevin Adams, but I think it's a fair question. You know, he said, if I ever thought changing the coach was the right thing to do, I would have done it. Okay, that's fine. So he never thought changing the coach was the right thing to do until the season was over. That's okay. Sometimes you arrive at that. My question would be, if you could do it over again, would you change it sooner? Because if you're ultimately going to arrive here,
yeah,
how can you not at least ask, should I have done this in December?
Right.
And if Seth Appert comes up, or whoever it might be, maybe we'd have been mad because, oh, Seth Appert's just now your coach, and you run the risk of Appert coming in, and it's okay, but do you want to bring him back next year or just throw him aside, a coach you like, when you go out and pursue your next head coach? So there are probably a lot of things at work there. But this organization could have ended its drought in any one of multiple years if they had changed the coach 3 months earlier and gotten a bump. Now, there's no guarantee they would have. But the 10-game win streak year when Housley just absolutely craters into the center of the earth in January, that season could have been saved. Wasn't saved by Bottrell. Could have saved a season with Bielsma maybe that year when they missed by not that much. Maybe it was 81 by the time it was over. Anyway, you know, if they had fired Granato on January 13th and gone to Seth Appert, I don't know if they make the playoffs. There's no way to know that. But it's a card that NHL teams play. The Islanders played it. Yeah. And they did it. Lots of teams play that card. The Devils played the card and didn't make the playoffs.
One thing that was a little tough this year, and we've talked about this just as a simple point of fact about the team rather than something that impacts anything, but there was never a big losing streak. You know, like there was never the longest losing streak they had of the year was
it the first four. Was it the first four games of the year?
No, it was four games between November, or maybe it was also, no, they won the third game.
Okay.
So it was four games between November 30th and December 5th. That was their only four-game losing streak of the year. So, you know, like, Kruger got fired after, what was it, lost 13?
It was 12.
12? Okay. Like, that's how long it took for that. If there was no seven-game losing streak to where, like, you could have got there. I mean, you still could have done it. I'm not absolving them completely of you still could have done it. That might have been the chance. December 5th, you had lost your fourth game in a row. You were 10-14-2. There are teams that would have done it right there.
I want to look at what Edmonton's record got to when they fired Jay Woodcroft. Do you have that? I'm looking for
I'll find it.
Now.
I think it was really bad, though.
It was bad.
I'll find it. But, like, worse than even the Sabres ever got for a stretch. The worse than any stretch the Sabres had this
year. But that said, that's another example. And even though that might not have been the thing that pushed them to make the playoffs because, again, their goalie figured it out instead of being horrible.
So he was fired on November 12th. And on November 12th.
They were 3-9-1.
They were 3-9-1.
Would the Sabres have fired Don Granato at 3-9-1? No.
I don't think so.
No, they wouldn't have.
They
would not. That's part of this point.
Yeah.
And I think it's a fair criticism, and I think it's something we always have to ask, whoever the next head coach is, when you have this card to play, will you ever play it? They do not fire midseason. I mean, they did with Lindy.
Right. They did with Lindy, and they did with Kruger
at
only when it was 12 in a row. Yeah, they don't like doing it. They don't want to do it.
803-0550, our phone number. Love a little juicy offseason about the Sabres. It got better because I mean, change is going to draw some eyes, and what they can do to land some credibility is, I mean, that's front and center. What's a credible idea? 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, Tony, Greg, stick with us. We'll get to more of your calls. Paul Hamilton at 7:30 to recap. We'll talk some coaches, some ideas, whether that's Berube or Lindy Ruff, whose name is without a doubt going to be linked here, as it probably should be. So we'll chat about that and, of course, get you ready for the draft. With some big defensive names in for the Bills. We'll run through who they are, what you need to know about them as well. Join us on a Wednesday here on WGR.
I think we all knew that there was definitely, I don't know, possibility or likelihood. I think we all kind of saw this coming. The Sabres had a disappointing year. Things really broke down there. I don't think anybody is hugely surprised. I think, if anything, we were wondering, was there any chance it would be a total cleaning house, which it isn't. Kevin Adams is still the GM, but I don't think anyone is really shocked by it.
Elliot Friedman on the news of the Sabres parting ways with head coach Don Granato, who coached the team for multiple seasons and is out. Kevin Adams begins the coaching search immediately, says he wants NHL experience. He knows what he wants. He can picture it in his mind in so many words. Very, very strongly just flat out laying it out for us. It'll be a coach with NHL experience, so keep that in mind when suggesting really anybody. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe with you, chatting Sabres options and where to go from here. It's also 8 days till the draft. We're going to get into some of that a little bit later, but for now, you know, we've got an opening at head coach for the Sabres and talking about what direction they should take. Greg in Lockport. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Good morning. I'll preface this by saying I don't know a real lot about hockey, but I get frustrated when I watch the continual struggles we have. The first question has to do with Kevin Adams and his call for accountability across the board. I'm just wondering, you know, what does that look like for him? When and how, or does his relationship with Terry Pegula kind of exempt him from what he expects from others? And secondly, our experience with the Bills tends to have shown us that improvement has come when both the general manager and coach have come in together and reset the organization. And I'd just like your comments on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Now, the GM and the coach came in the same year, but not the same time. I mean, for the Bills, McDermott got the job, and around this time of that year, he was working with Doug Whaley, and they did the draft with a different GM, and then Bean got brought on board. So, I mean, that was the same year, but not the same time. And accountability, I guess my answer to you, Greg, would be that if you're just treating accountability as you're fired, then no, Kevin Adams is not accountable, but he's in charge, it's his show, and he is accountable to that. I mean, accountability just means, you know, who's held to account for what has happened. And the GM of the team is accountable. He's not been fired, though. So I guess that's all I'd say. I would wonder about what kind of coach they want. I mean, disciplinarian. He did. This is a line to walk for Adams. Like, Tortorella coaches the Flyers, and they miss the playoffs. Is he going to get fired? Is he a candidate? He's got lots of experience. If he does, you want to make sure that you want someone with structure and accountability. That's something that Adams mentioned specifically, saying we crave structure and accountability. But, you know, whether you want to say new generation of player, and I don't say that in any sort of dismissive way or to, you know, take shots at a younger generation. I think it's a reality that if you're a coach, if I own an NHL team, I wouldn't want a coach whose job it is to make my players' lives miserable. I wouldn't want to do that. You want to have a happy medium, right? Someone that's going to drive them to be their best. And Don Granato deserves a lot of credit for bringing a lot out of these guys, but it got to a point where they need a new voice, which is not unusual in hockey. So we'll see what direction they go, whether that's, I mean, Gallant, Boudreau, Lindy. I can remember years where, you know, Lindy was not exactly great with young players. And then there's a year where we hear it's going to be a kinder and gentler Lindy Ruff. And I don't know if that ultimately happened, whatever. I know Paul's not on board with the idea. So, not that Paul has to be on board with the idea, but Paul's coming up at 7:30. Let's see if he's got a favorite that he likes. Cup winner Craig Berube, consistent producer of results, Bruce Boudreau. You got options. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. More your calls on the other side, Jeremy and Joe. Also, we'll run down, again, keep promising we will, and we will, the defensive players that have come in for the Bills that could throw a wrench in the wide receiver pursuit in the first round. Some of those names are guys that might not make it to the Bills, which could indicate moves up for defensive end. Could happen. Keep it. It's a possibility. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
We're at
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.